going to return to 1 Samuel 15, where we were this morning, but our focus will be on a different portion of the passage. So turn back in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to be in verses 22 and 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." That is the word of God. Cancer has touched possibly every life in this place, whether it be someone you know, someone you've heard about, or yourself. I knew someone whose doctor told them they had cancer, and that they needed to go through a specific set of treatments to fight that cancer. And that person said, "No, I've got something better." The doctor sent them for a second opinion, and they went, mostly because some of us would not have let them rest if they hadn't. The second doctor said, "Yeah, you need to start the chemo." This person said, "No, I've got a natural remedy." And cancer took that person away. You can either accept the voice of the authority or suffer. Accept the word of the Lord and reject the foul alternatives. Accept the word of the Lord and reject the foul alternatives. What does it mean to accept a thing? If someone gives you a gift, you open your hands and you take it. You unwrap it. You take it out. And you proclaim ownership of it. It's a part of you now. It's yours. This is what you need to do with the Word of God. Because when you reject the Word of God, you reject God as God. When you reject the Word of God, you reject God as God. When authority is ignored, the person ignoring the authority is proclaiming themselves as the authority. We heard a bit of that this morning, those who were here, when King Saul decided to set up a monument to himself, taking the glory that belonged to the Lord. He had ignored the command of the Lord, and thus he was placing himself in position to be Lord. And as we know, that ended very badly. But did you know that in your life, when you know better, and you still choose your own way, you're doing the same thing? You're attempting to take the glory that belongs to the one true God, and he will not stand for that. It is his glory. It is his authority. And to reject any part of it is to tell him, "You're not really God." If an officer stops you on the street because you've been speeding, and he comes up to your window and he says, "I'm stopping you because you were speeding and I'm going to give you a ticket," do you say, "No, you're not," and step on the gas and take off? No, No, because you know he's the authority, and you've also seen enough news to know what happens to people that do that. They suffer the foul alternative. So why do that with God? Why say, I know God is God here, but I want this part for myself? That little disobedience is you taking the place of God. And we just cannot do that. Because when you rebel against God, listen, when you rebel against God, you're choosing the occult. You're not just saying no. You're making a choice. Jesus made it clear. We only have two choices in this world. God and Satan. When you reject God, you're choosing Satan. You're choosing the occult. Verse 23a. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. This is the New American Standard Version. In other Bibles, you may have this translated as witchcraft. Did you know rebellion was that evil? It is. It is. If you thought your parents were angry with you when you rebelled against them, imagine perfect, holy God and the right He has in that moment to strike you down for choosing witchcraft. We see it on television. We read about it in books. We think that the witches are the ones with the funny hats and they're doing spells and they're ugly. And then the media says, no, witches are these. They're these beautiful people, but they're still doing ugly spells and they're sacrificing animals. And that's what we look like when we rebel against God. That is the choice we're making. It's that serious. And I'm not making that up. It's right here in verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. What is sin? What is sin? When we rebel against God, we sin, right? So what is sin? The Westminster Larger Catechism asks the question, what is sin, and answers it, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of any law of God given as a rule to the reasonable creature. Any transgression and any failure to live up to the standard. That's pretty big. Did you know that's what happens when we fail? When we sin against God? When we rebel against Him in our nature? When we choose our own way? We choose the occult. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing because people are watching us and learning from us. And we, as children of God who love the Lord, we want to please our Father, right? We want to make Him blessed and joyous. We want to bear a good witness to the world around us. So here's the question. How then is it that the Lord would prefer sacrifices to simple obedience? I mean, He called for sacrifice, right? It tells us He called for them. He called for all kinds of sacrifices. Read the book of Leviticus. Read the instructions. Does the Lord prefer sacrifices to simple obedience? I mean, what is obedience? How much does it mean to you when someone who loves you does what you say one time? Think about that. You ask or tell someone you love to do something, and they do it. Big deal, right? But what about when they sacrifice something? for you, to please you. Doesn't that seem bigger? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Why? In Genesis, we learn very quickly, as Moses writes, God created the creatures and pronounced them good, each and every one of them, even the ones we don't like. The rabbit for God is as good as the bear. The butterfly as good as the scorpion. He pronounced them good. But when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do aside from kicking them out of the garden? He killed one of his precious creatures, at least one, to provide fur with which to cover them. Death had to happen because of sin. Later on, as God teaches and trains his people, we find out that sacrifices were called for. As early as Cain and Abel, they were aware of the sacrificial system. We don't have all the details, but they knew. We don't get all the written details until later. So what happens when the sacrificial system is fully explained to us, written down for Israel, and practiced? Listen. Imagine your day starts this quiet. But you're one of that half million, more than half million people near Mount Sinai. And that's when the screaming starts. Because every day people sinned. Every day people were afraid that they might have sinned. And that meant they had to sacrifice and an animal had to die. Lambs, goats, oxen, birds. How many thousands upon thousands of them were killed each and every day? God's good creatures, his precious creation, because of sin. The bloodshed had to be unimaginable. The smell of it, if you've ever prepare something that you've hunted. You know that smell. If you've ever been in the back of the butcher shop, you know that smell. It's a harsh, acrid smell. And it doesn't go away quickly. So imagine hundreds of thousands of sacrifices every single day. I can't imagine that smell ever left the air. That acrid stench grasping at the nostrils, holding to your face, in your clothes, and the blood stains everywhere. That was the price. Tell me again, is it possible that God preferred that to obedience? Obedience would have meant none of that had to happen. And eventually, that sacrifice for sin, that bloodshed, took the life of Jesus Christ, who is God himself, who is the Son of God. Obedience would have prevented that. That is why we can look at verse 22 and know that we know to obey is better than sacrifice. God took no delight in sacrifices. They were necessary because of his holiness. They were necessary because of our sin. To obey is better than sacrifice. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 once again. I'm going to read to you a significant portion, but it's necessary here because it preaches better than I can on what we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. All those dead animals, and they still weren't good enough. They could not make people perfect. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, listen, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. No longer any offering for sin. No blood, no burning flesh, no screams. Accept the word of the Lord and reject the foul, stinking alternative. Smell it. No blood, no burning flesh, because of Jesus Christ. This is what he has freed you from, beloved. This is what he has freed you from. This is why obedience is better than sacrifice. Christ, as we hear the voice of the writer of Hebrews proclaiming loudly with joy, Christ obeyed perfectly and became the final sacrifice for sin. He obeyed perfectly and became the final sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. Back to Hebrews. I'm going to read to you a little bit more. Therefore, brethren, starting at verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What a prize we have in Jesus Christ. No more sacrifices. Jesus Christ himself became the one final sacrifice for sin. And his process for doing so? Perfect obedience to the Lord. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Let your heart be stirred, beloved, when you see someone in need, to reach out to them. Let your heart be stirred when you hear the name of the Lord degraded, to speak up. Let your heart be stirred when you don't feel like praying, to cry out, Father. Let your heart be stirred to love and good deeds because of Jesus Christ. Just a little more from the writer of Hebrews. He did so well. For if we go on sinning willfully, verse 26, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? Do you not trample the Son of God under your feet when you disobey his word? When you walk away from that beautiful truth? When you decide to make yourself God? You know the scene he's recalling, right? Our Lord, God himself, crucified at the hands of sinful men, whipped, mocked, beaten, his flesh torn, his blood pouring from his body. Don't join them. Accept the word of God. Accept it. Make it your own. Live it to the glory of Jesus Christ. A little bit more. Verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But you have been saved. You are a new creation. As your heart belongs to Christ, there is no more need for sacrifices because Jesus Christ sacrificed once, forever, for you. And to obey is better than sacrifice. And rebellion, like the sin of divination. Who here would choose witchcraft? Who here would choose willingly the occult? Accept the word of the ultimate healer, ultimate friend, ultimate counselor, ultimate savior, the mighty king, Jesus Christ. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until the week gets heavy. Don't even wait until you get home. But now, determine in your hearts with absolute confidence and sincerity that you are going to offer the only remaining sacrifice approved by God, and there is one, your broken and contrite heart. Humble before the faithful Lord Jesus who will lift you up. And in the process, and because of it, accept the word of the Lord and reject the foul alternatives. Accept the word of the Lord and reject the foul alternative. Let's ask the Lord for His strength in doing so. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to You, Lord, because not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit, You have done these things. Each one of us knows, Lord, that we haven't obeyed perfectly. Each one of us knows that there are things we need to deal with. Each one of us knows that in and of ourselves there is no perfection. But hallelujah, we know that in You there is perfection. And that as You have Your beloved has You as well. So when we sin, when we disobey Your word, and we rebel against You, choosing divination instead of the Lord of glory, You prick our hearts. You make them bleed and hurt to remind us that we have something better. We have within ourselves the power and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we fall, we will not be cast headlong because You hold us by the hand. And when we sin, we will repent. We will do better. We will obey the Lord. Your word is inerrant, Father, and we accept it for what it is. Life for us in Jesus Christ. Seal to every listening heart Your word to the glory of Christ Jesus. Amen.